So this is now the second week in which we haven't been able to assemble together, and I want to thank everybody who listened to last week's sermon. I hope it was beneficial to you. And we want to continue to provide lessons for you for spiritual growth, for spiritual focus. This week we are trying to do a video as well as audio, and if you're able to do the video, I hope that that works out. It's one of the things that we've had as a goal for this year before this whole virus thing came out, is we're going to try to produce lessons that are online, YouTube videos that are shareable and hopefully beneficial. And it just worked out that right now it makes a lot of sense for us to apply these things for the congregation's sake. Never thought that was what was going to happen, that this would be online sermons like this. That was not the plan. And it might make sense. We want to do a lesson that is applicable to our current circumstances. And it might make sense for us to do a lesson that is really focused on how we can be Christians despite being apart, and how we can still focus on God, worship God while being apart. In reality, I kind of want to do the opposite. I want to focus on the fact that being a Christian and being together are nearly inseparable concepts. And the reason why I say that is eventually this virus is going to be over. Eventually this is all going to come to an end. I don't believe this is the end of the world. And when that happens, what will happen? I've already heard there are some people who are thinking, look, we can do online sermons. We can call people and have these live videos. What's the point of having a church building? What's the point of going to church? What's the point of this actually being together? And I want us to not get used to this, because this is not what Christianity is supposed to be. This is just what we have to do under current circumstances, under the current distress. Well, the book I want to look at is the book of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, take a second, pause me if you don't. Go grab a Bible and let's read along in the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is, on first glance, a surprising book to be looking at in this subject, because the book of Hebrews is about Christians not quitting. That's what the Hebrew author is saying. He wants the people to hold on to their faith and not to quit. Specifically, he's talking to Jewish Christians who had this pull, this call to return back to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Law of Moses. And they wanted to do that. And so he tells them that what they have now is new and improved. It is superior. It is better. And that's a word that comes up multiple times in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is better than anything the Old Testament had to offer. And in that context, you would expect that the book of Hebrews to continually be saying, so don't quit. Don't give up. And it'd be this very personal message, individual message. But in fact, as the book of Hebrews goes on, it becomes clear that there is a trend, there is a theme flowing through, and it is that Christianity is a together religion. It is something that involves all of us working together, and it's not just a don't quit. It's all of us help each other. Christianity is a together religion. So open up your Bibles, the book of Hebrews, and let's start off with Hebrews chapter 3. Because up to this point, we have all this doctrine that's talking about Jesus being better, about the new law being better than the old law for various reasons. But he gets to Hebrews chapter 3, and this is when he begins this theme of togetherness. And it just introduced right out of the blue. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12 and 13, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And what he's saying is we face real danger, and we should face it together. In this context, he's talking about this generation of Israelites that leaves Egypt. And they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and they don't make it. And don't you wish that when the 10 spies are up saying, we can't make it, and there's other people that stand up, you have Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb standing up and saying, we can make it. Don't you wish there were people within the crowd that said, listen to Moses, listen to Joshua and Caleb, we can do this, let's do this, don't quit, don't anger God like this. The promised land is right there. Let's go. And the Hebrew author is saying, be that person. Be that person today as we face struggles, as we're trying to make it to the promised land. Be the person who's not just going to get there, but the person who's calling everybody around them saying, let's do this. Let's make it. Let's not quit. And so in the same context, you go down to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Don't just fear that you don't make it. Fear that any of us don't. Really worry about one another. Verse 11. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. And then there's a little bit of a break, but then you get to chapter 6. And what's stated in chapter 6 is interesting on top of that. Here in chapter 6, starting in verse 10. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name. Now see what happens here. He's saying God is not going to forget the things you've done. God is not going to forget how you have served him. And then he says, here's how you've done it. In having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When it comes to serving God, we serve God by serving one another. Christianity is a together religion. They had ministered, and they continue to minister. And it is not sufficient for us to say, well, we used to do it. It's something that must be an ongoing process. Well, then we get to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, we have the most famous together passage in the book of Hebrews, possibly in the whole Bible. Hebrews 10, verse 23. And he's wrapping up his message at this point. He's really driven home his point. And it's still, we still see this theme showing up. It's together. It's a together thing. So verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here, once again, it's a together thing, and what we find out in this case is this encouragement, this stimulation, this pushing one another on to being greater Christians, happens together physically. Together is a part of Christianity, an inseparable part. Well, he goes on then in chapter 12. In chapter 12, after having even further concluded all of his subjects about how what we receive is so much better than what they received under the Old Testament, we have an unshakable kingdom. He says this, therefore, this is Hebrews 12, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And in chapter 12, what he has said is, you know what? God disciplines the people he loves. Put in a different way, it's going to be hard. There are going to be challenges. And the very next thing he says, besides the fact that it's for our own good, that God is doing this because he loves us and it'll make us better, he says, help each other. Help one another that gets weak. Help people stay healthy and in line. And then notice what happens. Just skip one more verse, and the next thing that comes up, verse 15, Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. And like what we saw in Hebrews chapter 4, where it's like, make sure this doesn't happen to anyone. Once again, it comes back to that. Make sure it doesn't happen to anyone. You ever see the show Monk? I kind of like that show. It's got this neurotic detective who always has to correct everything. If things aren't perfectly in line, you say he's OCD, right? I mean, he has this great phrase, you'll thank me later. And I think about that line when I read this passage. Because it's saying, make sure there's nobody like Esau. Nobody who's getting out of line. Nobody who's not doing things exactly right. And he says, the reason why is because they'll thank you later. Eventually, they're going to realize the mistake. It's better for us to show it to them now than for them to find out when it's too late. To find out that quitting their faith, drifting away. Whatever it is that's pulling you away isn't worth it. But here, it's not just don't let that happen to you. It's don't let it happen to the people next to you. Christianity is a together religion. Well, then we get to Hebrews chapter 13, final chapter, and it just is poured on. Verse 1, let the love of the brethren continue. That goes back to what was stated in Hebrews chapter 6 about how you were ministering and still ministering to the saints. Verse 3, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. That has special meaning to me now. I know it's not exactly the same, but aren't we all a little bit in prison right now? We're all supposed to stay home. We're not supposed to go out. We're not like the prisoners. We're not being mistreated like they were, but we're supposed to remember those who are stuck in that situation. And it applies to, in normal circumstances, people whose health makes it to where they can't get out. We're not supposed to forget them. We're not supposed to say, well, they're not here, but we're supposed to remember them. And right now, it's not about you staying a Christian. It's about us staying a Christian and us remembering one another and our needs and our circumstances. Then he goes down to verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your soul as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. If we just go to an individual religion where you just listen to whatever sermon you like online, we're missing the leadership that God has placed within the church that is there for your sake. We are weaker. Christianity is a together thing. He's still not done. Verse 18 and 19. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. In many regards, this tape, this video, this audio, whatever it is that's working for you, is like the book of Hebrews. The messenger was not there with the audience, but he cared about them. And what he's asking them to do is pray for us so that this will come to an end, that we'll be back together. And is that not relevant to us today? It is unfortunate that we are separate, that you are worshiping in your home and me in mine. But let us pray that as soon as possible, this comes to an end and we're back together. And then in chapter 13, verse 24, as it comes to the end, the second to last verse of the book, greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. I know that's just the normal way of ending a letter. But when you think about the whole context of the letter, it's more than just goodbye. It is be together. Greet one another. Greet your leaders. Greet all the saints. And all the saints of Italy are greeting you. Christianity is a together thing. Now, there's a few lessons I want us to get from this really quickly, and then this lesson will be yours. The first thing I want to point out is that Christianity, and you might have already caught on to this point, but Christianity is a together thing. We are making the very best that we can under the circumstances that we have, but we ought not be satisfied with this, because the second point is this. Since Christianity is a together thing, we are weaker when we are apart. That doesn't mean we're doomed. We're just weaker. Think about Hebrews 13, verse 3. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them. It's not like he says rebuke the prisoners because they're not here with you and therefore there's no hope of them being Christians. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that they need to be remembered. They are going through a turmoil. They're going through struggles. Not doomed, but weaker. We are weaker when we are apart. Right now, Bonnie is in Alabama, and I am here. And our marriage is not doomed, but it is weaker. It's not doomed. We talk to each other. We do the very best we can under these circumstances. And I am thankful that she's in Alabama. I'm thankful that she's able to help her family. I really am. But my phone call with her is not enough. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not saying that's going to work for me. In the end, both of us need to be together. Marriage is a together thing. And so while we're separate, we make the most of our circumstance. But as soon as possible, we want it to come to an end. And we want to be back together in one another's arms. We want to talk to each other face to face. Isn't that the way it is with Christians? It should be. It should be that right now, we're just making the most of it. And I know that you might think, well, this is really convenient. I didn't have to get up nearly as early. I didn't have to get the kids ready. I didn't have to go to church or drive through the horrible Sunday morning traffic, right? Yeah, okay, so this may be more convenient, but it is not better. We are weaker when we are apart. And that brings me up to the third thing that I want to remind you of, and that is Satan is not under quarantine. Satan has not quit. But we need to be on our guard. Satan's main tools, his main weapons, what are they? Fear, worry, doubt, temptation. Have any of those come to an end? Those are still going on right now. And so we need to be on our guard. Let me finish with a little bit more from the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 6, one of the things, verse 17 through 18, that the Hebrew author does, one of the things he does is he reminds us that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And he wants us to know that so that we will have strong encouragement. Look to the language here. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Now, the Hebrew author has already established this. When God makes his promises, be encouraged. Not just encouraged, be strongly encouraged, because God keeps his promises. Now, look at what the Hebrew author does with that concept already in their minds when he gets to the end of the book. In Hebrews chapter 13, and he talks about our personal responsibility. And he starts off and he talks about the fact that we should be satisfied with what we have. And he's talking about not seeking out great wealth. In our case, it is be satisfied with our difficult circumstance. But it remains the same. And the promise remains the same. So look what it says. Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6. And let us end with these encouraging words, the promise from God. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, but content with what you have. For he himself has said, and here we have this great certainty from God, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Or the virus? Or anything else. Let us be encouraged. God will not forget us. He will not forsake us. We should not be afraid. Thank you. May God bless you, and may we continue to worship him every day and remember one another and pray for one another that this comes to an end as soon as possible.